wave hello to each and every one of our friends on the train with us today. That's right, it's time to get this party started.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
You are not going to like what happens next.
I also feel like I let myself down.
I know, baby.
I hate crying.
No, you don't. You don't hate crying. It's good for you. Have you ever cried on big bosoms? Come on, come over here. Put your head right here in the school bosom. Come on, scoot on over here.
And now,
Hispanic owned and operated.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, I love her so much. Crazy woman. Used to call the Afro line all the time.
Then you guys broke up?
I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Must have been something you said.
Well, I made sort of a tribute song. And by tribute, I mean, you know, a bunch of her calls back to back, mocking her, and but she was just full on crazy. She would send us messages about Obama and what he's trying to do to her, and she's just insane. And I miss her, I really miss her.
Sorry,
start today out so sad. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It's the 8th of April.
How's everybody doing?
Doing great,
except for the hat.
How dare you? It was a choice.
I know it's radio, and I know no one else can see you.
That is a choice.
Have some dignity.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
That's hurtful.
Some professionalism.
Okay.
You know, some commitment to excellence. I know that's not what this show is based on, but
yeah, at least, why now?
Yeah. We were hoping you might turn things around for us, Allie, but apparently no.
Here's what I will say, is that no person on this planet should give any type of fashion advice less than Bean and or me.
Okay.
Well, that is true, actually, yes.
And yet, that's a choice. Right.
Within
there.
A but second, that, really, you guys let me know. What? Not your favorite look, really.
Well, I mean, when I walked in, it's the elephant in the room. I mean, it's really...
Yeah, we could not say something about it.
It's a choice.
It does explain a lot about why you're single. I mean, if people were wondering. Like the hat.
I think people at home are like, what the heck kind of hat is it?
We'll post it.
It's just a floppy hat. It's just.
Oh, we'll have a picture up within 5 minutes. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Aggressive.
This one's going worldwide. Hey, speaking of worldwide, Kevin, you're Mr. Soccer. You watch a fair amount of the European soccer?
Yep.
How does the Russian Premier League fit into the soccer that you watch? Do you see their games as well?
I rarely see their games.
Really?
Yeah.
They're in the news right now. They just played Arsenal Tula. Now, what is that? Is that different from the Arsenal that I know in Britain?
I don't know that either.
Hmm. Okay. They're in the news because they apparently have a problem with their fans. Now, look, I know the stereotype for many years, particularly in European soccer, has been of the soccer hooligan, of the thugs, of the people who they're just brutal to the opposing fans and teams. And there have been some bad stories of things that soccer fans have done in the stands.
Right.
But in Russia, they've got a real problem. There's a team in Moscow called the Torpedo, I guess. They have just been handed this news that they're going to play their next two home games in an empty stadium after fans displayed Nazi flags.
Yeah.
When Arsenal Tula was in town on Sunday.
It is insane.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Well, I mean, and I don't know this particular situation, but there are places where, you know, teams go, and if they have a black player, for example, I mean, I'm not joking, they like throw bananas. You know what I mean? Like,
this team has done that.
Horrific.
This team has also done that. They've had monkey chants and thrown bananas at black players.
That's insane.
So the two games that they have to play in an empty stadium coming up, they can't even play until May because they have two other games coming up that involve punishments for that.
Something
was one
else.
Of them for the monkey chant.
Okay.
And for other things, so they've still got to work through previous punishments before they can get to these punishments.
Yeah, they always, and before the World Cup they did a big thing, and they always say no to racism is the huge thing, you know, from FIFA. And I always think, you know, okay, but it seems like maybe we're past the worst of it. We're not. In certain parts of the world, man, it is crazy, and they light things on fire.
The president of the Torpedo told the R Sport agency, which I assume is Russia, that the club's fans seem to be probably the most aggressive of any top flight Russian teams. They also, there's a new racism czar in their soccer league.
Racism czar!
To try to cut down on things like this. They've also endured numerous fines. This fine seems pretty low for a soccer team, though. They were fined $16,300 for the Nazi banner. Yeah, that seems kind of low.
Doesn't seem like much.
It doesn't seem like much compared to how much a professional sports team would be worth, I would think.
Hmm.
But anyway, it's a bad deal. And when I saw this, I thought, wow, that's horrendous. And then I couldn't believe this paragraph tucked away at the bottom of this article that said there have been more than 200 cases of discriminatory behavior linked to Russian soccer teams over two seasons as the company prepares to host the 2018 World Cup.
Oh. Yeah, we're going.
Yeah, let's reward the country by bringing in a ton of tourists to spend money.
We're going to Russia. Yes. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? I mean, how was this had to – this had to have been figured into the decision as to which country to give the World Cup to, right? How could they not look at this and go, well, clearly Russia's out?
Because this happens so much more than you could know.
You couldn't find a country where this doesn't happen?
I mean, you could, but you can't have it in England every time. And even there they have issues. I mean, every single country has these issues. It's insane. I don't understand it at all, but here's what I'm saying.
Here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. It's going down. Race war. Come on. Race war.
For real, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ugly.
So you got to pack your Nazi flag and your bananas, apparently, when you go to the World Cup in 2018, it sounds like.
I see myself doing that. Doesn't that just sound like somebody who's making a joke about how bad it was in the 50s?
Yes. You know what I mean? That's what it sounds like.
I guess this Arsenal team is one in Russia, Bean. It's not,
okay,
not
Arsenal Tuli is Rush. Yeah. Gotcha.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm not sure I'm interested in that. No, I am sure. I am not interested in that.
Bean's Death Corner, where Bean likes to celebrate death.
A lot of suicide in the Death Corner today.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Way to sell it.
Yeah. Somebody saw Ellie's hat.
Wow.
How dare you be so hateful?
He's always been so hateful. Deborah Ann Wool. We'll be on the program today from Netflix Daredevil.
How do you feel, Bean?
She's attractive.
Okay.
Well, he wasn't ringing the bell with his hand, if that's what you're saying. We also have Adam Horowitz, former Beastie Boy, talking about...
How about that?
While We're Young. How about that? We have tickets to the world premiere of The Avengers, Age of Ultron. Boy, I got to say it right for this crowd. Avengers, Age of Ultron. We got the world premiere tickets coming up this morning, so that's pretty cool, too. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatdown. We're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
What about Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning?
What about it indeed? Good morning, boys and girls.
What's got going on, Mr. Garman?
Take a look at the show. Whoa, that hat!
Right?
Right?
Wow.
What we're saying.
Snuck up on me.
That's my point.
it's just my own business. Then suddenly, the hat.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a hat in the room.
It's an aggressive hat.
That is the most effective form of birth control I've ever seen.
I've
never seen anything more hat than that.
It's
the most hat of anything I've ever seen.
It's so hattish.
It's so hatty.
Man, that's hattish.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? I know where she is. She's right here.
It's a choice. I mean, you know.
Kevin, have we posted photos of the hat yet?
I posted it, yeah.
Where can people see it?
At the Kevin Ryder. Yeah.
Okay. At the Kevin Ryder.
Yeah.
Speaking of fashion, by the way, if you want to be hip, Hollywood Reporter says, just in time for the Coachella, the new thing that's back in big way with all the hipsters is Velcro sneakers. Velcro sneakers is the thing. That's the bomb. That's the bomb diggity, as all the kids are saying. No! Velcro sneakers. Hip, man. That is hip.
Should I rethink my wardrobe choices for this
you
weekend?
You need to get yourself some Velcro sneakers.
That hat.
And that
yeah,
hat.
I can totally loan you the hat. Not a problem.
You'll be the coolest guy at Coachella, Kevin.
Everybody will just think, that guy is so hip.
See, here's the thing about fashion that just sucks ass. If you wore Velcro sneakers yesterday, you were a douchebag.
Yep.
And then some guy somewhere, I don't even know where the Council of Fashion meets, but they had a vote and they said, you know what's back? Velcro sneakers. Coolest thing ever. Hipsters will love it. Boom! Now it's you're on the cutting edge of fashion if you've got Velcro sneakers on. Today, yesterday, you were a doofus.
Saturday at midnight, that runs out. You wear them Sunday, you're an idiot.
That's right.
You have to pay attention to the rules.
It's infuriating. But still, that hat. Nina Dobrev, she has confirmed that she is leaving the CW's Vampire Diaries. That makes me sad. Because well, she's pretty, and she's good on that show.
And she is the star.
Yes.
I mean, there's that.
Yes. I don't know what's going to happen with this show. Because they've also announced that Michael Trevino, who plays Tyler Lockwood and co-stars in the ABC pilot The Kingmakers, he will no longer be a series regular as well. So they are going to have to do some major shuffling to make this work. But people over the CW wondering what's happening. Good news out of Netflix, once again. They have announced they're doing 17 more brand new episodes of Arrested Development.
Yay! Show's so good.
Brian Grazer, of course, executive producer of that show, told Variety, I love Arrested Development, but it was never a huge thing, but people are loyal to it. So stay tuned for 17 new episodes.
What did you guys think of season 3 that they had on Netflix?
I thought it was good. Wasn't as great as the originals, but I thought it was good.
I think if you didn't see the originals, you would think this is amazing.
Greatest thing ever, yeah.
But when you compare it, then it's not quite as good. But the original was so great.
It was a matter of degrees to me. I just thought I was happy to have more.
Yes.
So I was not about to complain that it wasn't quite as memorable, perhaps, as the first couple seasons. There's been some speculation regarding the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as to who will induct Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. They're the only ones who didn't have a person inducting them.
You were guessing Dave Grohl.
I was speculating because Dave will be there performing, and I know he's a huge Joan Jett, the Blackhearts fan, and he and Joan are friends, and they performed a bunch together. So it seemed like a natural fit. I was wrong.
Oh.
They've announced the perfect choice. Who else? When you think of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, when you think of rock and roll, when you think of just bare bones, just gritty, black leather rock and roll.
Iggy Pop.
As a woman.
Oh.
What do you think of?
Rodney Bingenheimer.
Right. Miley Cyrus.
What?
Miley Cyrus.
But
stop
for reals?
It. Stop it.
That's not a joke?
It's not a joke.
Miley Cyrus is inducting Joan
Miley
Jett.
Miley Cyrus is inducting Joan Jett in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I can see why she wants to be
on
the SNL reunion and do this.
Of course I can see. But we don't have to let her do everything,
why
do we?
Why are they letting her do that? Are they trying to go, hey,
sure the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame says, hey, this will get us some attention.
We need
to the
some
event.
Attention?
Yeah. And they know they film it, and then they play it back as a TV special as well. But
curious choice.
That cheesed me off. I don't want her to put her
usually,
stank all over the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Usually they intentionally pick somebody who was strongly influenced by the person who's being inducted.
Right.
And I don't see that in Miley Cyrus at all.
Not at all.
Hmm. Remember when Britney Spears recorded I Love Rock and Roll?
Oh, my God.
Remember how awful that was?
Now just remember that. Thank you very much.
That was the musical equivalent of Ali's hat.
It's very distracting. It's very to even thoughts. I mean, not just the show, but even thoughts of the past. It's disturbing everyone, and it will be remedied.
Marilyn Manson got punched in the face in a Canadian Denny's. No, I'm not playing Mad Libs. That actually happened. TMZ reporting he had finished a concert with his band Saturday night in Alberta, Canada, and went to go to Denny's at 2 a.m. Word is Marilyn got into some words with some local folks at another table, and then called some guy's girlfriend a bitch. Here's the thing. I know Canadians are well known for their politeness and their niceness. Not everywhere in Canada. That didn't sit too well with the local, who apparently just grand slammed Marilyn right in the face. Yesterday, Marilyn said the girls came over to his table for an autograph. He signed something but claimed that he never called anyone a bitch. He said the guy just sucker punched me for no reason. Marilyn said he's going back to Alberta to press charges, so I guess maybe this will all shake out in a court of law. But
I gotta tell you, we've interviewed him many times. He just doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would do that. He's just got a great sense of humor. I don't know. It's weird. What'd you think when you heard this, Bean?
I was surprised.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised that he is a guy who might get hassled in a place like Alberta, Canada, either, by the way. Marilyn Manson is not everybody's taste. You know, the way he dresses, the way he looks. I can see why people would give him a hard time. I'm surprised that he would react, you know. I'd be surprised that he would continue he would escalate it by calling names and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? Remember when he thought you were a narc?
Yeah, maybe he thought the guy at the cop at the table was a cop and said that. Yeah, I know you guys like him. I was happy by the story.
We do. You were. Yeah, yeah. A lot of people were.
Yeah.
A lot of people were. But we like him, and we sort of, I mean, we don't know him, but we sort of know him.
Yeah. But every time he's been on this show, he seems like a tremendous douchebag to me.
I don't get that at all.
Very full of himself and very sort of self-aggrandizing and just to desperately look at me, the attention factor, and it's just...
It's possible, but I think he's got a good sense of humor, and maybe that rubs people the wrong way. I don't know. I don't see him that way, but
yeah,
certainly that guy did.
Anyway, he did something himself, popped. That's all I know, and I'm guessing it wasn't buying lunch, breakfast for the table next to him. But we may never know. Today's celebrity birthdays... Taylor Kitsch is 34 years old today. Vampire Weekend singer Ezra Koenig is 31 years old. Katie Sackhoff, love her, of course, from Battlestar Galactica. 35 years old. Patricia Arquette celebrates her 47th birthday. Oscar winner Patricia Arquette. Robin Wright, so good over there on House of Cards. Also, she's Princess Buttercup, for God's sakes. If she does nothing else for the rest of her life, she'll be Princess Buttercup forever. As you wish. 49. Biz Markie is 51. We're going to have to rock a little Just a Friend. Dean Norris, 52 years old today, from, of course, Breaking Bad. And John Schneider. Oh, them dukes. Just after the passing of James Best, we celebrate John Schneider's 55th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Actor Adam Horowitz from the Beastie Boys joins us in about 30 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And from the Netflix Daredevil series, actress Deborah Ann Woll is going to be here as well. A lot of fans over the years playing that virgin vampire on True Blood. She's a terrific actress. So that's all coming up. First, though, who's ready for some sweet, sweet death?
Hey, everybody, gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
He has a death Google alert. He does.
He needs to stay current.
He needs to know immediately if somebody dies.
I will tell you that this batch is deathier than usual. So if you don't enjoy death, this might not be the segment for you. But I think everyone can agree how awesome story number one is. We take you to Argentina. San Jose del Bacare is the name of the town. And this is one of those classic stories, Kevin, where neighbors smell something funky coming from next door, so they call the authorities.
Right.
And the police show up, and yeah, there's a dead guy in the house. He was a 58-year-old shepherd, of all things. Police reports say they initially thought there was just one body, but then they realized there were two. He was lying on top of a scarecrow wearing lipstick and a long-haired wig. This man lived by himself, but had some sort of relationship or at least relations with the scarecrow that killed him. Did I mention that the scarecrow also had a 6-inch strap-on penis?
Yay! Oh. That's a lot.
Police reports say there were no signs of violence. We are working on the assumption that the man died during sex with the scarecrow. Straw had been stuffed inside old clothes that had been sewn together to make the scarecrow. We are awaiting the results of the autopsy. Neighbors say the man, who was known to live alone, had no mobile phone and was often seen as a loner.
Huh. I think we... There are certain cases where you would like to see the video feed from inside that house. This is one of them.
My initial reaction was, well, he's a shepherd. At least he didn't go in the direction I was afraid this story was going to go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That you know of.
Here's a Northfield, Minnesota man, and this is tragic and sad for so many reasons. His name was Randall Mitchell, 39 years old, and I really identify with this guy. A number of years ago, I had some people out to the farm because we had an arborist take a look at some of the trees on the property and realized that some of them were dead. And, sure, you know, when you do that, you're supposed to bring them down so that they don't fall down in a, you know, windstorm or whatever like that. So we had the guy come out to cut the trees down at my house, and he was very professional with a great deal of experience. audience, and he explained to us how his process worked and exactly where the tree was going to go. And then he cut it down, and it went in the exact opposite direction and landed on a fence and knocked down two or three levels of my fence.
Sweet.
With this tree that fell out.
Did your fence die? Is that what this story is?
No. I bring that up to say I really sympathize with what happened to this guy in Minnesota, because he had the exact same situation where he was afraid that the tree was going to hit his barn. He even went so far as to have the arborist and the guy cutting down the tree attach a safety cable to the tree. However, it still went terribly wrong, fell in the opposite direction, pinned him underneath and killed him. He got killed by a tree falling on his own property that he had paid somebody to come and cut down.
He probably got his money back, though, right?
I assume he did.
Sure, he asked for it.
He was pronounced dead on the scene. It was ruled an accident. Reported he died as a result of multiple blunt force injuries from the fallen tree. I mean, you look at that on paper and you go, well, that's an avoidable injury. But sometimes, man, those trees, you think you know what you're doing. It just doesn't work out that way.
They play by their own rules, man.
They certainly do, man, those trees. Here's a very strange story. It seems typical. You've got a couple named Michael and Rosalie Juskin who are well known in the neighborhood. They were out and about quite a bit, walking their dog, tending to their garden, but they mostly kept to themselves. Unfortunately, this was a case in Elmwood, New Jersey that turned into a murder-suicide. He hacked her to death with an axe and then stabbed himself to death with a knife. The reason this story is noteworthy to me is that she was 88. He was 100.
Whoa. What? They were like 2 days away from a natural death.
Yes. Doesn't it seem like if you've made it to 100, you've got it together? Like, you must be doing things pretty well, right? There's no evidence in this article, and maybe it'll come out that, you know, there were some sort of health problems or something like that. But even if that were the case, even if this were some sort of a mercy killing, you don't do it with an axe.
No, that's anger. That's,
yeah, that's not how that goes. Wow. That one goes down. It's just, it's so unusual that you ever see a hundred-year-old involved in either a murder or a suicide.
But do you think the 100-year-old is like, what are they going to do to me? I'm 100.
Well, I don't know if he was thinking that, because he killed himself right after he killed her. So it's not like he was expecting to be found. Here's another story like the earlier one of bad smell coming from next door. They went in and found that a woman who was in her 90s had been dead in the house for more than 5 years.
Oh, my God.
And was still living with her 65-year-old daughter. Her 65-year-old daughter was a hoarder and just kept mom like she kept all of the newspapers and all of the trash. The house was filled with rats and spiders. She's 65. Her mom's been dead 5 years and still living in the house with her.
She had cats, didn't she?
It doesn't say anything about
she
cats.
She had cats.
I'm saddened that she couldn't let her mother know, a neighbor told Channel 5 News in San Francisco. I just saw her 3 days ago, and I asked her, is your mother still with us? And she said, yes. Well, I guess physically she was still with her. And here's the deathiest corner story I've seen in a long time. Tragic but sad, ironic. A 74-year-old man did like he did. He and his wife, a couple of times a year, would visit the man's mother's gravesite. They were there in St. Joseph's Cemetery in Throop, Pennsylvania, last week. Stephen Wojtak, 74 years old, was kneeling in front of the headstone when it collapsed and fell on him and killed him. He was killed by his mother's headstone in the graveyard.
So she wins.
I guess mom got the last word this time. And that's this week's Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Every Thursday morning around 8 o'clock on the show, we talk to the great Jim Rome, sportscaster, about whatever's going on in the world of sports. But he also is kind of involved in sports a little bit because he owns a horse. Apparently, Kevin, his horse, Shared Belief, is considered to be one of the best horses racing in the country today, like the upper echelons of horse racing right now.
That's impressive
for a sport
that I don't know anything about.
I don't either.
Okay.
So we were talking to Jim last week, and we said, hey, what's going on with your horse? And we usually talk to him off-air about the horse because most people don't care about horse racing. But he says, matter of fact, there is something going on with the horse because she's getting ready to go on a plane for the first time. And we said, what? And he said, yeah, we're racing in West Virginia.
And we said, what?
I didn't know. I guess I never I guess I just assumed that they drive these horses around the country for races. It never occurred to me that you would put a horse on a plane. Like, the logistics involved in that. Allie, you know something about this,
there's
right?
only a middle seat left.
Well, I think Kevin had the line of the day that day. He's like, I do not want to sit by a horse.
I mean, really.
Kevin.
Do they? So they have that was a joke, but do they have special planes?
Yeah, I did some reading
just
up on
for
it.
Just horses?
There are, just they have actual, like, little stables in the plane.
What's that are going... built for horse transport.
Yes. So they've got hay in there. They've got their water. They are set.
Well, we can speculate all we want, but we asked producer Dave, who could we talk to about this? And I believe we have, if I understand correctly, I believe Shared Belief, Jim Rome's horse, is on the phone with us right now on the Kevin Green Show on K-Rock. Hello, Shared Belief. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fine. So have we screwed up so far in describing how horses are transported via airplane?
Not at all. You guys are legends.
Okay.
You have the story absolutely right.
So have you never traveled out of California?
I have never been on a plane. Hard to believe.
Wow.
I know, as a horse, that I haven't been on a plane, but in fact, I have not.
Have you talked to other horses so you know what you're kind of in store for?
I have talked to other horses, of course. A horse, of course. Here in the stable, we talk quite a bit, but none of the other horses have been on a plane either.
Oh.
So I am sort of a pioneer in this horse flying business.
I see.
I'm looking forward to it, although I'm a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have wings. I am not a Pegasus.
Right.
Not a good look for me.
Okay. Yeah, understood. Understood. Of course you would be nervous. And this is kind of a big deal for you because you've been so successful in California. I mean, you've earned almost $3 million. You've won 10 out of your 11 career starts. I mean, you must just be eager to kind of get out there and show the rest of the country what you've got going on.
Things are good. I won't deny it. I'm doing pretty well, but I am nervous about flying. I will not deny that because you don't know what you're going to get into up there. What if I get up there and they're like out of, I don't know, Mr. T., Bloody Mary mix. What if I want a cocktail and I can't find a stewardess? I'm concerned.
Wait, you drink?
Of course I drink. I'm a professional athlete. What am I supposed to do?
I didn't think about it that way, I guess. Yeah.
Have you prepared in any way for this flight?
Yes. To get used to the altitude, I jump sometimes.
Okay.
Like a foot in the air. Just a foot at a time. I figured, I know what it's like now to be in the air. Of course, I do not have wings. I want to make that clear. I don't have wings.
You're going to fly in a plane.
Right.
Right.
That's what they tell me.
That's what's happening.
But I've heard that before. One time they took me into a stall and took my balls. So I'm not trusting anybody.
Yeah.
I that was a very disappointing day for you.
Right. I am a gelding, and I'm here, and I'm proud of it, and I'm no longer going to deny it. I have no balls.
Okay. And, how
like
is our friend?
Chuckleheads.
How dare you?
How is our friend Jim Rome as an owner, Shared Belief?
Jim is the best. Love Jim. He pays for everything.
Uh-huh.
He's got a great team. Alex Solis and the rest of the team who work together to keep me healthy. I appreciate Jim's input. He's got a hot wife. Like when she comes by.
What?
She's got a hot wife.
Yeah, but you're a horse.
That's right. I'm a horse. Doesn't mean I can't appreciate a hot piece of ass once in a while, you know?
I just thought the hot piece. What?
Sarah Jessica Parker. Try not to step on the jokes. I will kick you. I'm a horse.
I don't feel like that was sexy.
What? Were you trying to be sexy?
No, not at all. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 6:51, and you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
Ad-Rock joins us right after the top of the hour. Now actor Adam Horowitz, formerly of the Beastie Boys, coming up, talking about the new film called While We're Young. Plus, next hour, we got more tickets for you to go to the Avengers Age of Ultron. So stick around for that. Plus, Ralph Garman has received a tremendous honor that we'll be exploring next hour as well. Very excited.
Even bigger
than the Hall of Fame, I think. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Taylor Swift has to be put down.
Good?
Yes.
I'm good with that.
Here's the thing. She can't stand anyone using profanity in the presence of her cats.
That is not true.
It is true.
That just is not true.
And if you use bad words around her cats, she will fine you. And then the money goes into a jar that goes to her favorite animal rescue group.
Oh, you.
Depending on the curse, it's between $1 and $5 fine if you curse around her cats.
I wonder if Jim Rome's horse knows Taylor Swift's cats.
If he does, I hope he tramples them. Now I'm done.
That's a joke. That's not a joke?
If it was a joke, wouldn't it be funny?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, not on this show. Huh. Can we just suit up? Let's suit up. I'm saying let's suit up.
Zero Dark 30
Wheels
her
up
ass.
In five. Wheels up in five. Let's go.
Double tap.
Let's go. Let's finally just be done with it. How long? How long are we going to let this go on? Before we finally step up and take some action. What kind of country are we anymore? Where we allow this just to happen?
I don't think she's really hurting anyone, is she, Ron?
Oh, she's hurting people.
She's hurting everyone all the time.
Who's your favorite of Taylor's cats? Do you like Meredith Grey or do you like Olivia Benson?
Oh, I like that one I gave the bowl of antifreeze to. What's that? Which one was that one?
That one didn't happen.
Which one did I give the antifreeze to? I forget.
Can we have that same group go from Taylor to Bean?
Sure.
Take care of both issues?
Look, let's send them on a mission. Don't come back. Got some scalps, boys. Hey, Kevin, you might have a new out.
I might have a new out.
New out.
For what? What does that mean?
You might want to go the Brian Williams route.
I don't know what
he's saying. Once you start saying dumb things.
Yeah?
Yeah, Brian told his bosses at NBC that the reason he lied so much about his interaction being shot down in
right.
that helicopter
right.
was that he might have a brain tumor. Maybe.
No.
Yeah.
It just manifests with lies about stories you've
Several
covered.
NBC News insiders told Vanity Fair that Brian had trouble explaining to his bosses what had happened. He said, did something happen to my head? Maybe I had a brain tumor or something in my head.
But he was he trying to be funny?
Why do you think everything's a joke? Stop thinking everything I say is a joke.
Why would he say that?
Because he's a desperate, scared man who's on the verge of losing his career.
Maybe I have a brain tumor.
Maybe something's wrong with my head.
He said. Question mark. All right, I'll start using that.
All right.
I like it.
Yeah. I like it too. Brian says he may have caught cancer when he walked on the moon. So we won't know until we check with him exactly what. Hey, Don McLean's rock and roll epic poem, American Pie, sold for $1.2 million yesterday.
Wow.
If you don't know that song, I'm going to like to sing it for you in its entirety.
You can't possibly sing it in its entirety. It's a half hour long.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how the music used to make me smile.
I think it's probably enough to let people
and
know the song
I knew
you're
if
about.
I had my chance that I could make those people dance and maybe now. They'd be happy for a while.
I think folks
but
have
February
it now.
Made me shiver.
Nope.
With every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep.
No!
I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. But something touched me deep inside the day the music died. Bye, bye, Mr. American Pie.
We got it, Rob.
Rode my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was
all
dry.
Right. We know the song.
Then
all
right. The boys are drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die.
That's fine.
This'll be the day that I die.
Let's go back. Just tell us about the story, Rob.
Like there's anyone else still listening.
By the way,
they were expecting it to go for $2 million. But the handwritten lyrics and notes of Don McLean's rock and roll epic poem only sold for $1.2 million. Came up a little short.
I don't know how they only for a couple pieces of paper.
They put a price on that. I guess maybe what other people have paid for stuff.
Yeah, for example, like Bob Dylan's manuscript, handwritten manuscript for Like a Rolling Stone, another classic rock, seminal rock song, $2 million was the sale price for that, and they thought this was of equal historic value. In fact, there's a bunch of lyrics and choruses that never made it into the 8-minute song, they say. It was even longer than the version he recorded.
That's the longest song I've ever heard in my life.
No,
how can there be more?
Because apparently he cut it down to fit it all on the record.
Do you think that's the type of song, like a Rolling Stone, Ralph, that will be passed down from generation to generation? Like, it's one of those songs that will never go away? Or you think
I think it'll be a part of our musical legacy forever.
You know, a lot of people don't remember it, but it was...
That's why I'd like to sing it in its entirety.
No.
A long, a lot of people don't remember time it. Ago, I can still remember how the music used to make me smile.
I was just going to point out that... we don't hear it much anymore, but Madonna had a big hit remake of that just in the 2000s.
Yes, she did.
Kind of brought it to life for a new generation that way as well.
Huh. Yes. And lastly, music news. Maroon 5's Adam Levine is in the news. You may remember when he hit that female fan on the head with his microphone, then brought her on stage and had her sit on stage for the rest of the show to avoid a lawsuit. Well, Monday night, he got attacked on stage by a female fan. Band was performing down there in Anaheim. She jumped on the stage and threw her arms around him. Adam wasn't hurt, but he was shaken up that she was able to get through security so easily. He didn't throw her off the stage or even yell at her. He just held her arm until security was able to gently escort her off the stage.
What a weird situation. Everybody's watching me. I'm supposed to be singing.
Right. What do I do with this girl?
I have a crazy person by the arm.
Tiger by the tail. He was not severely injured, but she did cut his ear with her fingernail when she was groping at him, they say.
Wow.
She was just trying to give some love to Maroon 5. That's all she was doing.
How dare you. Bean, you're going to have that.
Because
our machine is broken.
Because Kevin always asks everyone to give some love to Maroon 5.
I did that one time.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
She was just following Kevin's orders. That's all. She was just part of the Lamb Dog Brigade. A long, long time ago, I can still remember how the music used to make me smile.
Lamb doggy dog.
Lamb dog. People are calling the business line asking me to finish, please.
They're not.
Singing American
Pie. No
one
is saying
they would like to hear me sing American Pie in its entirety.
Go in your office, get on Meerkat or one of those streaming things, and just sing your heart out. Be good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ezra Koenig from Vampire Weekend is 31 years old today. Taylor Kitsch is 34 years old. Katie Sackhoff, 35. Patricia Arquette, 47 years old today. Robin Wright is 49. Dean Norris was so good on Breaking Bad, 52 years old today. Actor John Schneider. He was, I want to say, Bo Duke.
All right.
I think he was Bo.
I think Bo.
Bo?
55 years old today. And legendary rapper, singer, songwriter, actor.
But you said singer.
Oh, yeah. Biz Markie's 51 today.
Oh, baby, you got what I need. Would you say he just a friend? Would you say he just a friend? Oh, baby, you got what I need. Would you say
he This is an actual song.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And you love it, Kevin. And you would listen to it if it came on the radio on the way home today.
Sounds like a bad karaoke night.
How dare you? Long, long time ago, I can still remember how... Would you please, people
would
are waiting.
Would you please?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What's the time? It's time to get ill. No sleep till you gotta fight for your right.
Check it out.
Girls, I'm telling you, I'm a savage. Brass monkey. It's the joy.
Our next guest has appeared on K-Rock many times over the years as part of one of the greatest bands of all time, the Beastie Boys. He is back, all grown up, and co-starring, I should say, at least, in a new film called While We're Young from the great director Noah Baumbach. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Adam Horowitz back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Adam, how you doing, man?
Good morning. Hello.
Welcome.
Hello, indeed. How's New York today? Did spring ever arrive there? What was the song, what?
What was the song you were just playing before?
New
that
Muse.
That was the new one from Muse.
Muse?
Yeah, Muse.
Okay, I didn't know what they actually sounded like.
Have you not heard Muse before, Adam?
I've played like
probably 10 different festivals with Muse, and I don't know what they sound like.
That's unacceptable.
Wow.
I think we're going to have to give you homework.
You know what? I think I'm okay with or without it. They're okay with or without me.
All right.
Adam, trust us on this. Trust us on this. Not that we're the people to tell you about music, but you owe Muse some time. They're great.
You like them.
If you say so,
all right.
I'll listen to you.
Okay. Well, listen, you're a big-time movie actor. I mean, you are going toe-to-toe with Naomi Watts, Ben Stiller, Adam Driver. This is kind of a big deal being in this film, right?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
How did it come about?
You know, in the scheme of things of the world, it's not that big of a deal.
Right. But, I mean, compared to a TV cameo or being in a music video, which is an area you're very familiar with, I mean, to be a co-star in a kind of a major motion picture with big – I mean, this is a real step forward. Was it intimidating at all, or were you very comfortable with taking on this role?
It wasn't intimidating until it was actually time to start to say my first line.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that I was sitting across the table from Ben Stiller about to be like an actor in a movie.
Yes,
that's a little stressful.
It seems like it would be stressful too because there's so many people it takes from, you know, photographers, and there's hundreds of people. If you screw it up, then everybody gets screwed up.
Well, you know, me screwing up has never really been a concern of mine.
Wow, you're the direct opposite of me. That's a full-time concern.
You get to know me, okay?
All right. Wow. This film is getting great reviews. It's called While We're Young. It's in theaters now. And I guess it's just it's something that will be relatable to anybody who's ever realized, not even that they're the I'm the get off your lawn guy, but just that, wow, there are other adults who are coming up who are younger than different than I am, and I don't know how to feel about it. It's kind of a movie that I think that is relatable to all ages, don't you think, Adam?
I didn't hear what you were saying because I was talking, so I don't know what just happened.
All right. Just agree with me.
This is going well, mm-hmm. I feel.
That is a very poignant and astute statement you just made.
In the film, Ben Stiller and Naomi...
I never thought of it that way.
Okay. See? There we go. We're on the same page. In the film, Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts are worried that they're becoming old people and they're having trouble, relating to the younger people because they realize how different the generations are. Have you encountered any of that in your own life, Adam, as you have gotten older, as you become a man in your 40s?
Have I encountered worrying about being older, worrying about what the kids do?
Yeah, worrying about what the kids do, looking at the kids and going, oh, those damned hipsters. Or do you feel like you're still one of the kids?
I've never liked the kids.
I'm with Adam on this one.
And you know what? The kids don't like me, and that's the way it should be.
And you're fine with that.
That's the way it has to be. So it makes the world go round. That's why Muse perplexes me.
Back to Muse.
I don't know where to go from here.
How about rap music? Is that something that you look at and just don't get into the whoever the new stars that are on the scene today?
Specifically rap music? No, I don't. I mean, I applaud new artists. I'm a fan of the genre. You know, it's like Sting. You know, I don't know his music, but I'm glad he makes it. You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did that help?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
I love this so much. I'm not going to lie to you. Adam, what are you watching right now? That's what I want to know. I mean, you're shooting movies.
I'm
you're staring
very... at a wall right now.
Okay, not literally right now. Maybe later today. Are you a Netflix guy? What takes up your time when you just want to get away from it all?
I don't have much to get away from.
Okay. What do you do for entertainment?
I really love, you know what, if you're asking me seriously, like, what television programs I watch, I really love The Walking Dead. That's, like, my favorite thing in the whole world.
Same. Agreed.
Yeah. And I would like a casting person who's listening to this to sort of, you know, put me in a scene.
I think that can be done. Kevin, you know people.
I don't really. Yeah. I can't really make that happen.
Okay. That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
I want to be like the guy from New York that shows up. You know okay. What I mean? Like, hey, I brought bagels.
And then boom, down.
Then you get killed.
And then
we'll take your bagels, but you're gone, sir.
Yeah. That's fine.
I like it. Adam, do you have the acting bug? Is this something you'd like to do a lot more of in the future?
What?
Would you like to do a lot more acting in the future, or is this kind of more like a one-time, hey, it'd be fun to hang out with friends kind of thing?
Well, I just announced publicly that I want to be cast on The Walking Dead.
On The Walking Dead, all right.
Yeah, I heard that. Heard
that's
that.
The role I want.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'd like
He's
to
in
play,
it to win it.
I want to play, like, the old hacker guy in a movie where, like, the kids are like, whoa, he's the original hacker, and then I want to just get yelled at by somebody.
Well, that's a dream.
Preferably Jack Bauer. That would be, like, fantastic.
All right. Well,
and then maybe he breaks the laptop over my head, and then that's it.
You okay?
I'm writing my own scene.
So you're writing... Uh-huh.
You're right. Doing
no.
good.
No. I don't know how you can tell over the phone, but yeah, you tired? You okay? You don't look so good.
There's a lot of people in Hollywood listening who are taking notes right now, and I'm sure that your people will get calls from their people, Adam. I think we'll hook you up here today.
My people is me.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
That's why he'll bring bagels.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm saying I'm helping the industry right now. I got ideas.
Yes, you do.
Two huge ideas right there for me.
I agree.
So, Hollywood, if you're listening, that's what he would like.
That's right. The film is called While We're Young, and it is really well done. And this Noah Baumbach, I mean, go back and see some of his other movies. He's a terrific writer, terrific director, great score to the film, but done by James Murphy from LCD Sound System. And obviously our friend Adam Horowitz in the movie, Ben Stiller, Naomi Watts, Adam Driver, Adam Seyfried, Charles Grodin.
James Murphy owes me $100.
Okay. For what? Were you gambling?
He broke my refrigerator.
What are you?
All right.
Is this Adam Horowitz? Because I think something weird is happening.
Oh, it is. This is...
What do you mean? I'm telling you the truth. Ask him.
How'd he break your refrigerator? How'd that come about?
How do you break a refrigerator? I have no idea.
That's what we're asking. We thought you might know more about it than we do.
We weren't there.
No, he was staying in my apartment. I was out of town. I came back. The refrigerator wasn't working when I came back. You do the math. It's $100. That's how much it costs to get fixed.
Okay.
Right. Well, I hope you get that money back, Adam.
Over 15 years, he's had over 15 years to pay me back with interest. I'm just saying.
All right.
Okay.
We'll get the message to him.
We'll pass that right along. Well, listen. Any final words before we say goodbye, sir?
I don't know. What else do you know? I got a lot of other acting opportunities for me that I'm writing as we're discussing that I'd like to discuss with casting agents.
Okay.
So you know what I'll do? I'll put them in a list. I'll email them to you, and maybe you could just sort of read some of them on the air sometime.
All right. I like it. Your list of demands. I like it very much.
I have a lot of ideas for products. I have a lot of ideas for different sports franchises. So I'll get all that material to you, okay?
All right.
Okay. All right. We will look for that email. Adam, congratulations on the film. I hope our audience goes to see While We're Young. Nice to catch up with you. Thanks for the time.
See you around.
All right. Those guys.
What just? How?
That man, those guys love to F with people who are interviewing them.
That was amazing.
It's just so uncomfortable for us. And he, on the other end, he's just like, this is awesome.
I want bagels with him so bad.
So that happened.
Nope. Yo, you be listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, man.
Hey, Ralph Garman, this is Kevin and Bean Show Wednesday morning. You're usually the first to criticize when we suck. Was that us?
No. It was awesome, but it was not. That's why it was probably not you, because it was awesome.
We've interviewed all of the Beastie Boys and each individual Beastie Boy, and it always goes that way. Right. They torture
you can't be surprised by what happened.
They torture the S out of us.
Right.
Out of everyone, not just us. It's just interviewers.
But the best part of everything is the fact that Bean cannot deal with anarchy. He does not like shenanigans.
Right.
He does not like when things go off the track and there's not a narrative to follow and things aren't feeling like radio.
Well,
and Bean was like, I could see the sparks and the fumes and just the total disconnect.
All right, behind the scenes. Behind the scenes, we were told many, many times, hey, he doesn't really want to talk about music, the Beastie Boys. He doesn't want to talk about the Beastie Boys. So we're like,
because obviously we have a lot of questions about what's happening with Beastie Boys unreleased music and everything else,
sure.
But we were specifically told no Beastie Boys.
Only the movie.
Like,
right.
Okay.
So then we asked about the movie, and he wouldn't talk about it. What are we left with?
Bagels. Fridge is broken.
I don't know.
Does he want to be an actor?
I feel like it went well.
Was that a bad question?
Well, he's coming on to talk about the movie he was in.
He's not talking about the movie he was in.
But he's in a movie, right? He's acting in a movie.
But that's why I asked him if this was like a one-time thing to work with friends, because he's friends with Noah Baumbach, or if he actually wants to do more acting.
The Walking Dead. He wanted to bring bagels.
He sure did.
Yeah, he did want to do that.
Missed that part.
That was awkward and uncomfortable, and I apologize if you hated that.
It was awesome. Are you kidding me? That's real talk right there, man.
You can taste us struggling, right?
Yes, that's what makes it fascinating radio.
We were struggling so bad. And Allie was just laughing.
She was
having a great time.
She was in the room laughing at us.
We were all having a great time, except for you guys.
It's not fun to be us.
Sometimes you just have to let go.
Yeah.
And just say, this is happening. Mm-hmm. Either I join him or I try and talk about his movie that he doesn't care that much about.
You can listen to Seacrest have a slick, polished, well-formed interview with Taylor Swift. Or you can listen to the horrific car crash meltdown that is Adam Horovitz and Kevin and Bean. See, that's the difference in your morning radio choices, boys and girls.
Here's the funniest part.
You like it raw, bleedy, messy, destruction, death, pus, infection, gangrene? Or do you want something that's nice and polished and well manicured and safe?
How many times, Bean, in your estimation, have the Beastie Boys done that to us? On purpose.
Every time, always.
And yet they go, okay, Adam wants to talk about the movie, and we go, we're in.
Yep.
So who are the dumb ones?
That
would be us.
Ralph, let's save your thing for here and open up the phones right now at 1-800-520-1067 and give away some movie passes. What do you think?
Okay.
Good.
Movie passes for what?
I'm looking at the clock. Avengers Age of Ultron, and you were talking about how you thought it might be time for the ladies to weigh in.
Hey, ladies! we have many women who complain constantly that Kevin and Bean say, oh, there are no women who like comic books. There are no women who like comic book movies.
What we say is, hey, we're looking at 9 phone lines, and all of them have penises. That's what we say.
First of all, the phone lines don't have penises. That's crazy, Tom.
You know what I mean. We're saying, where are the girls calling
for the
giveaways?
They're trying to get through, and they're writing me and sending me emails saying, why don't you have a ladies' night? Have ladies' night for the Avengers tickets so that we can get a shot, too, and plus, as well, to Tom Bien, we can prove to the chuckleheads that we're out here en masse, and we have a lot of ladies out there who love the comic.
All right, so we have 5 pair of tickets, so we will at least have 10 girls at the movie.
That's right.
If they bring another girl. So then maybe just 5.
Here we go again with your stereotypical BS.
What's the game?
It's ladies' night. This is going to be all ladies calling in. Only ladies, please call in. And we're going to talk about the women of comic books, female superheroes with ladies' night.
All right. So Avengers Age of Ultron, as you know, in theaters everywhere on May 1st, but you get to see it 2 weeks early. You get to see it this Monday at the Dolby Theater with the stars of the film. Looking for you gals at
1-800-520-1067.
We'll take your calls, give you a chance to earn your way in next on K-Rock. Wow, this is just going to be one of the biggest movie premieres of 2015. It's going to be Monday at the Dolby Theater. We're talking about the latest Avengers film called Age of Ultron with all the stars, Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans, Mark Ruffalo, and so much more. It doesn't open until May 1st, but you get to see it on Monday the 13th. Ralph Garman is here, and we're calling this one Female Superheroes. Hit it, Steve.
This is Female Superheroes, looking for those women weirdos that like comics and movies. Let's see if we can get one. Call, please. This is Female Superheroes. Call and get your girl geek. This is Female Superheroes. Go see Age of Ultron.
Yeah! I love it. I love the feel of that. It's got a very polka sort of female weightlifter vibe to it. I like it.
Female weightlifter. Yes. I don't know what that is.
I don't either. Okay.
All right. Ralph, you're going to ask the questions?
Yes.
We're going to start with Natasha in Yorba-Linda.
Natasha.
Hi, Natasha.
Hello?
Natasha, are you a superhero comic book fan?
More the movies, but I'm going to take a stab at this.
All right. Well, I'll give you a shot here. This is from the comics, Marvel Comics, female superhero. This female superhero has been known under several comic book superhero aliases like Marvel Girl, Phoenix, and Dark Phoenix. Do you know her name?
Jean Grey.
Jean Grey is correct, Natasha. You are going to the premiere.
Boom, just like that. Nicely
easy.
Done.
Hold on, we're going to give you all the details.
All right, let's move on to Beatrice and Chino.
That's a, that's a legit comic book fan right now, right there to know that one.
Yes, absolutely.
Hi, Beatrice.
Hello.
But she's also in the X-Men movies, Bean, so she may have known it from that.
Ah.
Beatrice, here's your question. This female superhero is a mutant, but was also the former queen consort of Wakanda and the Black Panther.
Oh, okay.
Mutant female superhero was a former queen of the African nation of Wakanda with Black Panther.
Oh, my
gosh. What's your guess there, Beatrice?
I'm kind of drawing a blank.
Storm. Looking for Storm from the X-Men.
Oh.
Sorry, right. Beatrice.
Thanks for playing.
No, I feel bad for her.
All right, let's go to Melody in Los Angeles. Hi, Melody.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, how Melody. Are you a comic book fan?
Actually, I like the male superheroes a bit more, so I know more about the male ones. But, hey, Ralph, I didn't see you at WonderCon this weekend. I missed you.
No, I was busy. We had a bunch of stuff to do, so I couldn't make it down there, but I wanted to go. You'll see me at the San Diego if you're down there.
Are you going to the Star Wars celebration?
Hey, we're having a contest
here. Hey, Kevin, we're trying to have a conversation.
Sorry.
Do you mind?
Stop
interrupting us with your little radio program. My bad.
Sorry. Right. Star Wars celebration. Sorry.
All right. Hey, I'll see you there. Here's my your question, Melody. This female superhero has had several women take up this counterpart, starting with Carol Danvers, and then Kamala Khan was also this female superhero. Do you know her name?
Captain Marvel?
We'll take that. Yes, Captain Marvel or Ms. Marvel. We'll take it.
Oh, that's
very impressive.
Awesome.
Congratulations, Melody. You're going to see the premiere of Avengers Age of Ultron.
I feel like Ralph's being a little easy.
No, because she was. Ms. Marvel also became Captain Marvel. It's, right. It's one or the other.
Plus, he's going to see her in a week or so.
Yeah, screw it, whatever that thing is.
This was all foreplay is what this was.
Melissa in Bell Gardens. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Melissa. Here's your female superhero question. This female superhero is a cousin to Dr. Bruce Banner.
She-Hulk.
She-Hulk, absolutely. Well done.
Wow. Very impressive.
She-Hulk is so hot. She's green, but she is hot.
3 out of 4, pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
2 more pair. Let's go to Sasha in Burbank.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Sasha. This female superhero is sometimes a super villainous in Marvel Comics. She deals mostly with the amazing
Black Widow?
You might want to wait for the whole question.
He's going to let you finish because he's being very kind in this game.
I'll finish the question for you.
Sorry.
She deals mostly with the amazing Spider-Man. Her real name is Felicia Hardy. Do you know the character?
Oh. No, I don't know Spider-Man.
Yeah. The Black Cat. We're looking for the Black Cat. Sorry,
Sasha.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Michelle in Studio City. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Michelle.
Good.
This superhero is Natalia Alanova Romanova, and she was the first woman to take on this character's code name, working with S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Avengers.
That is Black Widow.
Black Widow, that's correct.
It is. Nicely done.
Well done, Michelle. Well, you're going to see Age of Ultron.
All right.
Black Widow's in that movie.
We have one pair left. Will it be Bethany in West L.A.? Hi.
Hopefully. I don't know. The questions today are a lot harder than the guys' questions.
Oh, really?
These are all female superheroes. These are your sisters. Your sisters in arms. You should know these women.
Yeah, they're not televised as much as the guys.
Well, this one is. This female superhero appears in the new Avengers movie Age of Ultron. Her name is Wanda Maximoff, and she has a twin brother who's also a superhero named Quicksilver. Do you know the character?
Oh, crap. It's like, I know her, it's like a Widow or Willow.
Nope, but they
starts with a W.
It does, yes.
Witch, something witch.
Right?
Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch, yeah!
Unbelievable.
Bethany!
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
That was like, who wants to be a millionaire? She worked it out there right on television.
Wow.
Well done, Bethany. You're going to see Avengers Age of Ultron.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thanks for playing the game.
This is Female Superheroes. Go see Age of Ultron.
Ow! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
Got a big 8 o'clock hour straight ahead. Our friend Adam Carolla joins us right after the top of the hour. And then the actress Deborah Ann... Wool. Yes, it's Wool. That's right. You know what? Because of yesterday, I could think was Wolf, Ralph.
I said Wolf yesterday.
Wool! Dave talking corrected
about,
you.
Yeah.
Talking about Daredevil. Looks so good, you guys. Looks so good. That's really coming up here on K-Rock. Ralph's here now. Time for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
You know what else is so good? Tron! Disney working on another Tron sequel. The original, of course, was from 1982 with Jeff Bridges and Bruce Boxleitner. Then they did Tron Legacy, which came out, I can't believe it's been that long ago. It came out in 2010. Can you believe that?
What?
Really? That's what this article says here. Is that possible? Because I remember when we talked to Jeff Bridges about Tron Legacy at Comic-Con.
That was 5 years ago?
That's what this article says. Olivia Wilde was in it. Garrett Hedlund was in it as the son of Bridges' character.
That was well done.
It was real well done. I enjoyed both of those films. Hollywood Reporter now says... both will be back for the next sequel, Garrett Hedlund and Olivia Wilde. I think Jeff Bridges will probably show up as well. The first one made around $500 million worldwide. So this third film in the Tron franchise is no surprise to anybody. But I'm happy to hear it because I enjoy those films.
Do you remember the party that they had at Comic-Con for Tron that Jeff Bridges was not allowed in?
Yes. Do you remember that?
It was like, it was too full or something. They were capacity or
they
something.
They bounced him at the door. Security said, no, sir, you can't come in. He's like, I am
but
Tron.
He's so laid back. He didn't really care.
No, he's the best.
He's like, the best, but he just got denied.
No worries, man. Or whatever that voice he's using these days in movies. I understand that voice. It started with True Grit, and then it seems to be showing up in a lot of his films.
Sounds sort of like Batman.
More like Scooby-Doo.
All right.
Very strange. I don't want to get emails. I don't want to get any phone calls, any corrections. I realized Bruce Boxleitner was Tron in Tron, not Jeff Bridges. I got it. I meant when we said that to security in my little theater piece.
Right.
He was like, I am Tron, meaning I'm the star of that movie. That's what I meant to say. Look, I know how people are.
Mm-hmm. Your people like to correct you.
They do. Twisted Sister saying goodbye. The band's going to do a farewell tour in 2016, then hang it up for good after 40 years. They are not going to take it anymore.
Thank you for saving me from
saying
that.
You're very welcome. I just wanted to jump on that grenade for you, Allie.
Fine.
Word is singer Dee Snider made the decision a week before their drummer, A.J. Perro, died from a heart attack. So this was not in response to the passing of the original Twisted Sister drummer. However, tribute shows for AJ will be announced soon, and they will get together the original lineup for the final tour. So, if you're a Twisted Sister fan, what?
I kind of feel like most of us thought Twisted Sister did their farewell tour many, many years ago.
How?
Yeah, have they been?
Dare you?
Have they been performing for a while?
Yeah, they're always out there.
Who knew?
Yeah. What do you want to do with your life? I want to rock. From that video?
Yes.
This is the best. We're not gonna take it. Man, you just do not appreciate. By the way, tons of people demanding.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
The full-length version of American
and
Pie.
And you should sing it and put it right up on YouTube.
How dare you,
that's
sir.
That's what you should do.
Of course, we talk about that because the manuscript, the written lyrics for the song American Pie just went up for auction this week, and they sold for $1.2 million. American Pie's rock and roll epic poem came short of what they thought it would make. They thought it would make more around $2 million. That's what Bob Dylan's manuscript for Like a Rolling Stone went for. So the original handwritten lyrics of the 8-minute song are now owned by a private collector. So
you guys remember that song, right?
That's not. It isn't.
That's not it?
That's not it.
Can't wait to have those lyrics written down.
I try. You know, I tried to sing the song in its entirety.
Yeah.
Kevin just won't let me.
That's correct.
And you've upset the audience. The audience is demanding it.
The audience will live.
Here's an email from Chuck Walker from Chatsworth, California. I agree that Don McLean's American Pie is one of the greatest songs ever written. And please, do take the time to sing all six verses in honor of the manuscript's $1.2 million sale. Your co-workers have no appreciation for a true national treasure. Over the years, there have been many interpretations of each of the verses' meanings. Don McLean himself talked about the morning of February 4th, 1959, during his childhood, when he folded each paper to be delivered on his paper route and read that the day before, February 3rd, Richie Valens, Big Bopper, and Buddy Holly were all killed in a plane crash. Even as a child, this event really affected him into adulthood. And so he included it in his historical song. That plane crash, the day the music died, killed his music hero, Buddy Holly. I woke up in a Bugatti. His music hero, Buddy Holly. His music hero, Buddy Holly. His music hero, Buddy Holly. Come on!
Nice.
Chuck Walker, everybody! Come on!
That's
Chuck
it.
Walker!
Zoom, zoom.
You don't know, man. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ezra Koenig from Vampire Weekend is 31 years old today. Actor Taylor Kitsch.
Would you say that he's better than Ezra?
Can you? What's the penalty for recycled files?
Yeah, I don't.
When someone takes something out of a file that was in the file and then recycles it for their own purposes, what's the penalty for that?
We've never had that happen.
But there needs to be some sort of penalty. Am I correct?
Death.
This is a 20-minute major. Is that what we're looking at here?
Death. Kevin's
death.
Idea.
Murder.
Murder. I think murder. Katie Sackhoff's 35. Not only was she legendary in Battlestar Galactica, but she was also in a movie, that, a TV series, rather, that I enjoyed a bunch that no one else seems to ever know existed, called Longmire, that I really liked. About a sheriff and a New Mexican sheriff. She was
well, we
didn't
talk about things that were on TV.
Yeah, it was on television. And then most recently, we saw her in that reboot of Power Rangers.
That's right.
With the beaks. 35 today. Patricia Arquette, the Oscar winner for Boyhood, is 47. Robin Wright is 49 years old. Dean Norris, very talented actor from Breaking Bad. He is 52 years old today. John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard turned 55. He's just one of those other guys who just refuses to age. Just looks ridiculous.
He's Smallville to me, by the way.
He was also Jonathan Kent, Pa Kent on Smallville, also 55 years old. And rapper Biz Markie is 51 today.
Oh, baby, you got what I need.
Sell it, Biz.
How high was he when he recorded that?
He's the best.
Let's be honest.
He's the best.
He was way high.
I told you about my experience at the Yo Gabba Gabba show live. The Yo Gabba Gabba live show.
I have one as well.
You both have one? You did, but I don't remember.
I took my daughter Olivia to see Yo Gabba Gabba live. She loves the Yo Gabba Gabba gang. So we went, and at the end of the show, they bring out Biz. And he's a big part of the show because he does a thing called Biz's Beats on the Yo Gabba Gabba. He comes out and goes... It's part of the television programs. He does that. Bye! And he's very, very odd on the show. Anyway, she loves that part. So he comes out, Biz comes out, and Biz is... I don't know what he's doing to kill time before his big entrance. But it involves, I think... A six-pack.
Uh-oh.
Or a 12-pack. or a beer bong. Or maybe it's just weed, or maybe, I don't know, but it's something. There was some ingesting of some sort of substance.
Right.
Biz comes out holding his pants up because his pants are down around his ass at this point. He's holding his pants with one hand, and the microphone just said, Merry Christmas! Doing a Christmas rap, and his pants are falling off his ass.
And the crowd is all kids.
And the crowd is all kids, and half the parents like trying to cover the eyes of their children. And Libby says to me, why is he holding his pants? And I said, because I think they're slipping off, honey. I think his pants are falling down. And she said to me, someone should give him a belt.
Well?
And I said, that's my girl right there. She saw a problem and she came up with a solution. So, Biz, I hope for your birthday someone gives you a belt so you can stop showing your ass to children at the Staples Center. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
1 week from tomorrow night, next Thursday, April the 16th, at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood, is a documentary screening of a film called Winning, The Racing Life of Paul Newman. That sounds fantastic, by the way. Put together by our friend Adam Carolla, who's on the phone with us right now. Hey, Ace Man.
Hey, man.
Thanks for coming on. This thing Thursday sounds cool. You told us last week that there's the big after party with all the celebrities. You got a special musical guest that's going to be there. There's a special deal going on right now for K-Rock listeners only at adamcarolla.com. You just click on the banner that says Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman Premiere, and you use the code K-Rock. You buy one ticket, get your guest ticket for free. So two-for-one offer for K-Rock listeners right now at adamcarolla.com. All proceeds going to the Newman Automotive Racing Charities, and we're going to give away a pair of passes to this premiere for caller 20 as well at 1-800-520-1067. Call right now to K-Rock. Did you ever get a chance to meet Mr. Newman, Adam?
No, I have not, but I can tell you, if you go to this premiere, you're going to see five of his race cars there, which I do drive.
Would you be more excited to meet him or his race cars?
I like the cars.
Yeah. That's what I figured.
And Adam, I'll ask you one other question before we get into This Week in Rage, and that is, have you ever interviewed any of the Beastie Boys?
No.
Don't. Oh, you're so lucky. You're so lucky.
I don't like the Beastie Boys. I'm the only person that doesn't like the Beastie Boys or Prince, and I've been getting yelled at my entire life.
Well, you deserve it.
You should be. That's like saying you don't like puppies or ice cream.
The Beastie Boys, I don't think, are any good, and Prince is a douchebag.
You're a terrible human being, first of all. But
right.
Second of all, the Beastie Boys stopped giving real interviews about the first year and a half, and they just started effing around with people, and man, they can torture you.
They stink musically.
They don't. That's ridiculous.
You couldn't be wronger, Ace Man. You're stupid.
Here's what the Beastie Boys do. They do exactly what we would do if we were trying to start a band, yet we had no musical talent and couldn't sing.
Exactly. How dare you, first of all.
All right, they're horrible.
There's real music out there.
All I want to say to you idiots is there's real music. You'll go listen to it.
Well, you're stupid. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm not going to go that far. I like the Beastie Boys, but
sure,
I will tell you.
They're great for people who can't sing.
We got burned by Ad Rock again today. That's why we bring it up, Adam.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Fantastic.
Well,
Adam Carolla.
Who's good once, and then
AdamCarolla.com. If you want to buy tickets to the movie, the Ace Man joins us every week about this time for a feature we like to call This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three and work my way up to number one. You know, I've been complaining for a long time that people are just bivouacking at the airport and grown men are laying down on the floors at the Apple Store and at the Starbucks, and people just kind of flip, they're kind of flopping everywhere now.
Right.
They're just kind of taking, balling up their shirt and laying down on the ground, and you see them everywhere. And someone told me they were at a Verizon store, and like a dude was like laying on the ground, and I thought to myself, wait a minute, when I was a kid, if a grown man was laying down, was on the ground, there was a scream, is there a doctor in the house?
Yeah.
We've got a man down. Somebody call a paramedic. How do we know who's had a heart attack these days? What I'm saying is my kids, when they get into their 40s and 50s, and half the population is just flopped out taking a nap on the floor, how are we going to know if my son's in actual cardiac arrest or just napping?
That is a modern problem. I guess you're right. People didn't used to just lay down out in public.
If you saw a dude on the floor, it meant he had a stroke, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
Pretty much.
Now he's taking a nap at the airport.
Yeah, that's true.
What the hell kind of society are we going for? And how many people are going to die who actually are having strokes and heart attacks who we think are just, we're just stepping over them? Like, hey, slacker, why don't you stand with the rest of us or sit over at the bar?
And they're just going, I'm having a heart attack. Why are people walking past me like it doesn't matter?
People are stepping over me and plugging in their computers around me. All right, number two, speaking, I hope the kids are listening. Speaking of Newman, you know, I know all about the man's life now. He was a devoted father. He was with Joanne Woodward for like 47 years. He was an exercise freak. He didn't smoke. He didn't drink. And now I'm sitting there watching this Sinatra documentary on HBO. The man had a glass of Jack Daniels in his hand at all times, a cigarette in the other hand. He's out carousing until 4 in the morning, banging whores. They both live to the same age.
That's a good point.
And all I'm saying is here's a dedicated man. He's exercising all the time. He's doing everything right. That's right. He's in bed by 10 o'clock every day. He dies at the exact same time the chain-smoking, whoring alcoholic dies. So, kids, if you're listening, go ahead, crack that bottle of Jack and light up a Winston. They both made, like, Paul Newman, he lived like, I think he lived like an extra 9.5 months. But really, for all the booze and all the whores and all the cigarettes, it wasn't worth it.
Well, I gotta think, Adam, that this speaks more to genetics and just luck of the draw than it does with environmental,
right,
what you're doing.
You're still making my argument, kids. Get out there. Light up a cigarette. Have a highball. Bang a whore.
I'm not positive.
It's
that's
all
what
genetics.
I don't think we're saying that.
That's what we're saying. All it's right. All genetics. And now, number one, this idea, I'm in love with this idea because, you know, I feel, you know, I'm not black myself, but I feel the pain.
What?
You know what I'm saying?
Wait, you're saying the struggle is real.
The struggle is real.
Wait, let's go back. You're not black?
Not myself. Well, I don't know because I don't see color.
Okay.
That's what my dad told me. I wasn't black.
All right. Well, assume that's true going forward.
Yeah. And but I feel the struggle.
Okay.
And I understand, and I want to help, and I've heard so many times about the black man trying to hail a cab and not having a cab stop for him, and it brings a tear to my eye. I've had enough of it, and I think I've solved this problem.
You solved it.
I've solved it. All right. They had the clothing line, FUBU, for us, by us, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
All right, that went over nicely. FUBER. This is a black only. It's a black only. It's Uber for blacks.
But right,
it's Uber. Some guy like Quest looks like Questlove picks you up in a Denali with dumps on it. You go wherever you want.
I think Fuber is a brilliant name, and I love it. But I don't know that we need to start having separate taxi services for the races, Adam.
If Whitey's not going to pick up the black man, then evidently we need Fuber.
Right, but the white man can't get into the FUBER if it pulls up first?
No, it's for us. Wait a minute. It's for them. Jesus Christ. You know what I'm talking about. They need rides.
Kevin, what do you think? FUBER? That's a terrible idea.
What are you talking about?
It's a great name and a terrible idea.
FUBER, for us, by us. You get a ride, and you know, of course, we include the tip, but FUBER.
It's another multi-million dollar idea from Adam Kroll, because that's the only kind of ideas he can come up with. Hey, don't forget, Road Hard, the film, is available on all digital and VOD platforms. You ought to check that out. Only, is it right? Only $9.99 on iTunes right now. Is that right, Ace Man?
That's right.
And if you want to go to the event next Thursday night at the El Capitan, that's a week from tomorrow, Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman. Once again, special promotion for K-Rock listeners only. Go to adamcarolla.com, click on the Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman premiere, and enter the coupon code K-Rock, and you buy one and get one free. That is going to be a fun, fun night and a great documentary. Ace Man, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you soon, sir.
Thank you.
She's just too nice to tell you the truth.
Nope.
I know, right?
Nope.
I think that's girls sticking together is what that is.
And I'm all for it.
Here's what's going on. Ally McKay looks awful today, and
wow! See, I wouldn't even say that.
Really?
No.
Don't you think the hat just kills whatever is good that's going on below the neck? The hat just murders.
No, it's a goofy hat. I don't think
it's happening. Yeah,
it's a bad hat. All right, she looks like the freaking Lone Ranger. So we're making fun of her all
or
day
Darkwing
today.
Or Darkwing Duck, which I thought was an amazing comparison.
Sure.
Thank you.
And then our lovely guest, Deborah Ann Wall, who joins us in studio. Hi, Deborah Ann. How are you?
Hi, I'm really well. Thank you.
She, of course, co-stars in Marvel's Daredevil, which we've been talking about a lot and are very excited. Hits Netflix this Friday. She comes in, and first thing out of her mouth is, oh, I like the hat.
I think
the hat's
she looks
cute.
Great. Thank you. I really do. And like I said, I'm going to watch the hell out of Daredevil.
My job is done.
Yes. Well done.
I think I'm with Kevin. I think you're just being super, super sweet. Well, welcome to the show. Are you just in Los Angeles doing press? Is that why you're out here?
No, I live here. We
what?
Were here, yeah.
I thought you were a New Yorker.
Well, I am from New York, and we shoot Daredevil in New York. But no, I came to L.A. about 10 years ago, and so this is where I've settled for now.
Fantastic. You know, Marvel is just crushing it, as I'm sure you were aware when they sent the script to your house. You were like, oh, my God, if Marvel's doing it, I'm in, I would imagine, because it just it doesn't seem like they can mess up with all this sometimes complicated material that they're bringing to the screen. They're making all of it awesome, right?
Sure. Well, but this was a little different because this was TV. This was darker, more mature content. It was, you know, it was a lot of the Marvel people, but it was also Netflix. So it was kind of untested ground. So we didn't totally know that it was a sure bet. But I'm really glad that people are liking it so far.
Yeah, well, I mean, just to, you know, we've only been able to see the trailer. They've kept it pretty much under lock and key. We haven't been able to peek until Friday, I guess, till we see it. I mean, I guess, you know, the comic book has always had a strong fan base, and now we're far enough removed from the movie that people are kind of willing to, you know, just reboot the thing and start from scratch, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think the great thing about comic book fans and the people who have read them over the years is that they're used to these stories being told over and over again by different writers, different artists, you know, they're more open to different takes. So I think the fact that Daredevil has existed in comics and television shows, that there's this movie from 2003, and now there's us, that they're very open to us trying something new with it.
Especially after the movie in 2003, though, right?
How dare you. No, I honestly think that all these different types of tacks on it can exist at the same time. I don't think we need to erase any memories.
You talk about how this is kind of dark. I mean, yeah. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., obviously, that's a TV show, mm-hmm. but that's not a superhero show, really. This is, and it's a dark superhero. Tell us about that. What do you mean by that?
I think mostly that the themes are complex and they're adult, as well as, you know, some of the violence and things like that will be a little more graphic than you're used to on network. I think also, like I said, just this idea that there's not good and evil, that there's a gray area there, that sometimes our hero is going to do things that seem questionable and our villain is going to do things that seem heroic. And that's kind of a more complex take on the story.
And how about Karen Page? Is she the same way?
Yes, I would say so. I don't know if fans of the comic book know Karen. She, you know, Stan Lee started her out. She was so sweet and innocent and naive. And then towards the end with Miller and Kevin Smith, she really took a dark turn with heroin and all kinds of crazy things going on. And so we kind of said, well, you know, we don't really want to play just one side of her. So we'll combine them and do kind of a mixture. So she can be, a person who's sort of attracted to the dark side of her nature, but is also sort of fighting that with an innate goodness.
How do you prepare for a role like that? How do you research that?
You read a lot of comic books to start. And a lot of, you know, because the comic books as well as film is a visual medium, I ended up looking at a lot of art because sometimes you can get a lot of who a character is just based on someone's really incredibly detailed artistic rendering.
Were you into comics growing up or is this something new to you?
It was newer. My partner, my boyfriend, is a huge comic book reader, so I've sort of been brought into that world in the last few years. But I hadn't been growing up, no.
How excited was he?
Yeah,
you have
to do this.
Okay, my boyfriend cosplayed at our premiere. It was kind of incredible.
Oh my God. That happened.
I need photos.
Oh, I'm sure you can find them. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
Let's talk about Charlie Cox, who I love as an actor. He plays Daredevil, Matt Murdock. Did you know him before?
Not before this, but I mean, if there was any reason to do this job other than being, you know, Marvel and Netflix and all these incredible things, it's Charlie. He's just such a fantastic person and so talented. You guys are going to love him as Daredevil.
Does he, I mean, is it, it has to be very tough for a sighted person to play a blind person. I would imagine just as an actor, it would be so easy to screw that up.
Sure. I mean, he worked with a consultant. He spent time with someone who had been blind, I think, most of his life, sort of similar to Matt Murdock's situation. And, he filmed him, he studied him. We had lots of conversations on set. And I love that Charlie was really, you know, it's interesting. It's sort of easy to forget in a weird way that Matt Murdock is blind because he's a superhero and he can do things, but he's also got to keep up this illusion for the rest of us. And I love that Charlie really felt like the keeper of that information, that every time we entered a scene, he was like, I can't do it that way, or I have to find a place to put this down, that he really was, he was on top of it, and that if anyone else sort of, you know, if it skipped their mind, he was watching out for that.
Did you have to reshoot any scenes just because he was like, oh, no, you know what? I forgot, or I need to remember that.
Not as far as I'm aware.
Really?
As far as I'm aware, he did a really excellent job.
Let me ask you this, and forgive me if this is a dumb question. Deborah Ann Woll on The Kevin Bean Show, by the way. We're talking about Marvel's Daredevil, which debuts on Netflix, all 13 episodes, this Friday, April the 10th. I have always heard, and again, forgive me if this is wrong, that blind people have additional heightened other senses. And I know that that is carried to the extreme in Daredevil. Yes. No blind person can do the things that Daredevil can really do. But is there something to that in real life?
I don't know.
Better hearing, better just whatever.
I think it also depends on the person. You know, I know the world. My boyfriend is legally blind, and he makes a big joke actually that he doesn't have heightened senses, but he's 2 inches taller. You know, sort of. You know, I think that for him he is sort of sound sensitive, but I also think that might just be kind of part of his personality that he would have been that way anyways, and maybe it's a little bit extra since. He's having to use that sense a little more, but I think there's a predisposition in that as well.
I always just wonder when I see a person who's blind or nearly blind, if they just kind of have some sort of better sense of the things that are kind of around them, just because they're so used to being so careful about not running into things, if maybe they just kind of develop a sixth sense. But, you know, maybe there's nothing to that.
I think you do have to be sort of aware of your space sort of kinesthetically. You have to be able to sort of sense that objects are near if you can't see them.
That's probably the word I would have used if I were smart enough to know that word. Look up, I bet.
Kinesthetically.
I know. That's an acting word.
Have you been to any Comic-Con type situations with Daredevil yet?
We did New York Comic-Con this last fall.
All right, we need to take a break. We'll come back and hear about New York Comic-Con. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Daredevil is on Netflix on Friday, and it looks freaking awesome. Actress Deborah Ann Woll in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. She is Karen Page in Netflix's Daredevil, which is available everywhere on Friday. We were asking right before the break about New York Comic Con, where you went with Daredevil. Of course, you have many years of experience with the cast of True Blood at all the various cons around the world. But this was the first time you came face-to-face with fans who knew you as Karen Page. Tell me what they were talking to you about.
They were good. I mean, they seemed to be... They just want to make sure that these stories that they've loved have been told with integrity. So I think that a lot of the questions were about that. They wanted to be sure that we had read the comic books. They wanted to be sure that we were going to be faithful to their essence, you know. And beyond that, they didn't mind if we made changes.
How was the decision made, if you know, this may be above your pay grade, but how did they decide, with the success of all these Marvel movies, to make this one a Netflix series instead of a film? Because it sure looks like a movie when you see the trailer.
Sure. I mean, obviously, you know, we've all been saying it, and I think it is true, that it's this idea of it's a 13-hour movie. You know, we didn't want to have to waste a lot of time with exposition or recapping or cliffhangers, things like that. So it does feel very much like a very just long-form storytelling. So I don't know exactly what the process is. I know that Joe Quesada, Jeff Loeb, these sort of, you know, big deal Marvel guys had always loved the character of Daredevil, and they always wanted to tell it. And I think they knew that they wanted to do a long-form storytelling process. Mm-hmm. And so I think the idea was, I think they've said, to convince people to make a TV show rather than a movie. So that was their intention from the beginning.
And when you auditioned for this, you had no idea what you were auditioning for.
Marvel is super secretive. You know, they have to fight leaks and spoilers and things getting out all the time. So they sent us sides that do not exist in the script. We read sides that were just made for us.
Okay.
We didn't know that
anything to do with the source material. You didn't even know it was Daredevil?
We did not know it was Daredevil. We knew it was a Netflix series project.
Okay.
And the sides were sort of, they were things that our characters might say, but they never actually ended up in any of the scripts.
But your name was Maren Sage?
Exactly.
That seems super difficult for you, because don't you sort of try to interpret stuff?
I mean, yes, but you're also interpreting what they've given you, you know, what's on the page. So they want to see that you are a capable actor, and if you can show them that with these pages. And then once you sort of pass that initial stage, then we got real pages and we got to read some scripts. And so you sort of have to be gently eased into the world of Marvel.
let's hear a little bit of the trailer. Again, we're talking about Marvel's Daredevil, which debuts on Netflix this Friday.
Good and evil. Sometimes the difference between the two is a sharp line. Sometimes it's a blur. Sometimes we have to do things outside of the law.
I don't see the city anymore.
Each breath you take is mine.
There's only dark corners.
I'll keep you safe, Karen. I have to be the man this city needs.
What are you gonna do?
Whatever it takes.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Dude. I'm in.
Whatever it takes.
I mean,
great cast. Scott Glenn, who I'm so happy to see on my Netflix, by the way, plays Stick. We mentioned Charlie Cox,
awesome
who is
character.
The Daredevil. Matt Murdock, the great Rosario Dawson, is in this thing. Vincent D'Onofrio, who we all are fans of, plays Kingpin. He looks amazing in this. And we just found out off air, Deborah, that you haven't heard his any music from his new album.
I haven't. I haven't. I have heard that this is this incredible, infamous album.
It's so awesome.
It's all of those things.
All right, should we play? Here we go.
Before you hit it. Tell me what kind of guy Vincent D'Onofrio is and what kind of music you would expect him to do.
I mean, I think Vincent D'Onofrio is such an interesting fellow because he's this mixture of sort of equally very serious and super silly. And those are sometimes the most fun people to hang out with because you kind of never know what's going to come at you next. So
he seems wicked smart to me.
Super, super smart. Doesn't sort of use that as a weapon or anything. It's just kind of there, and you just sort of know it, and you know you try to use big words around it. big words like kinesthetic.
Right. What kind of music do you expect to hear from him? You expect a Broadway show tune here? Country music? What do you think?
I'm expecting like French, like Parisian coffee house, like finger snapping kind of jazz.
Okay. All right.
Like singing poetry kind of thing.
Okay, you're on the right track.
I am.
There's poetry.
Okay.
Ish. We give you Vincent.
I'm a hamster, not a trapeze artist. I'm not a circus act. I'm a hamster. Am I in any way related to the wheel? I have nothing in common with wheels. Sure, I run on it sometimes, but if I don't, some jerk with a smelly hand will put me on it and try and spin the wheel, try and teach me how to spin on it for the 100th time. I'm a hamster with a chip on my shoulder.
Oh my god, it's amazing.
Best song ever.
It's amazing. Oh, I really do, really do love it.
Somebody has a new ringtone.
Oh my god, that's so great. It's a metaphor, you guys.
What?
It's a metaphor.
You're so much smarter than we are. If you got anything out of that except for sheer and utter nonsense.
No, I think it's wonderful. I mean, and it actually does speak to his personality a bit because it is. It's that mixture of like, I am actually really trying to say something, but I'm going to do it in this sort of lighthearted way.
It's bizarre. We love it.
Yeah.
The next time you guys all get together for press or conventions or whatever, you have to walk up to him and say, Vincent, I'm a hamster.
I'm a hamster.
Tell them how much we love that song.
Yeah, I will.
I'm glad we got to share that with you.
Thanks.
All right. Final thoughts before we get a chance to watch the series and binge it on Friday on Netflix. What else do you want to know?
Oh, my gosh. What do I want to know?
Well, what do you want us to know?
what do I want you to know? I don't know. I'm super proud of this production. I think we did something kind of cool and a little different. And I don't know. Even though I don't think, you know, this is not a disclaimer in any way, but I would love to sort of remind people that filmmaking is an experimental art form, just like any other, and that, you know, we're trying something different here. And if you can kind of just jump on board the ride and sort of see how it makes you feel, I think you're going to get a lot out of it.
Well, we're jumping on.
Great.
With both
feet. Absolutely.
And it's great to have you in the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Chili peppers.
Yep.
We don't play nearly enough of those guys.
It's true. That is the number one complaint we get from our listeners is not enough chili peppers.
Why not just change the name of the station to KRHCP?
First of all, we're only allowed to have four letters. But second of all... I think,
spoiled by the man again.
I think that this might be a good time just to mention, because people sometimes ask her, hey, why do you guys ask us, why do you play the songs we do? It's because those are the songs that most of the people listening want to hear. That's why. People love the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's what we've discovered.
But how is this divined, this information? How do they come up with these so-called favorites of people?
They don't share that with us.
Right. That's what I'm saying. There's a big office somewhere with a long table and a bunch of guys are sitting there.
Right.
And they're pressing buttons and we're just puppets, man.
And you don't think they know what they're doing? You question their methods, perhaps?
Look.
Certainly the results?
Look.
That's a good point, Ralph. I hadn't thought of look.
Right?
How long have you guys been on the air? How long have you guys been on the air?
Too long.
Do you think people at the radio station know what they're doing?
That's a good point.
Come on.
They wouldn't be making a lot of choices they're making in terms of staffing if they knew what they were doing.
That's a good point.
What chili
peppers like this from now on?
What Chili Pepper song is coming up next? Do we know? Have we looked?
A cover by Hozier.
All of them.
Ooh, Ardo-Bedo. Play that song instead. Play the new Adam Sandler instead. Play something fresh.
That's Georgia as well.
Ooh, Ardo-Bedo.
That's not.
I got a new movie. I play a greatest video game player. Ooh, I take on Pac-Man. Do-be-do. Love that new song. Pixels, his name is. Isn't it called Pixels? Hey, you want to hang out with Al Pacino?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Me too. So let's go to the UK and let's sign up with something that's called Event Travel. They've got a package where you can not only see Al Pacino as in one of his three-city speaking tour he's doing over there, an evening with Al Pacino, but you get to fly with him to the next event on his private jet.
Yes.
You go see Al at Glasgow, Scotland. Then you join the Al Pacino entourage at the airport in Glasgow to board the private jet, the company says on its website. You accompany him to the next venue where you also get to see the show. They put you up three nights in a luxury hotel, and you get a return flight with Pacino. How much?
I already said yes. Oh, how much? It's only one. It's an auction?
This
only
is,
one
person? This is two VIP guests.
And there's a number that you're asking us to guess.
There is a price.
$25,000.
$50,000.
Allie's closer.
Okay.
$41,500 for the Al Pacino experience. Mm. I'm going to start an Indiegogo or a, yeah. or a what do they call it?
Kickstarter?
Kick plant? Sure. Kick face?
It's not kick face.
Kick face, right?
It's Kickstarter.
Kick face. Curb stomp. What's it called?
It's not. Those are very different things.
I'm going to get a curb stomp going, and I am going to raise the money to do this because this would be the end-all, be-all for me. And look, I've met the guy. I've worked with the guy.
That's why I'm confused.
I have the Al Pacino experience ready. I want more. I want more of the Al Pacino experience.
But you had more of the Al Pacino experience even than the person who spends 40 grand for this because you actually acted opposite him in a movie. That's way better than just sitting on a plane.
But I have never gone on his private jet with him. As much as he begged me when we were in Vancouver working on Two for the Money, I never got on the private jet. And I want to be in the air, and I wouldn't go, oh, who wants macadamia nuts? That's what I want to hear.
You think he's going to be the flight attendant?
All right. I got the cart here. I'm making drinks. Bloody Mary for you. What do you want? Ooh, vodka tab. All right, then. Who wants it?
No one wants vodka and tap.
Actually,
I know someone who used to work for the station who used to drink vodka and tap.
Serious question, though. There's a lot of downtime in acting. There's a lot of setting up between takes of a scene.
You know it, Bean.
Did you and Al ever get to make small talk when you were making Two for the Money?
I thought you were going to say sweet love there for a moment.
No, small talk.
Of course we did. We small talked a lot.
What kind of stuff did you guys talk about?
The legendary story is I told you he did card tricks for me a bunch, right? I told you that?
I don't remember that, no.
Yeah, you see,
that's cool.
Loved to do card tricks. And we would sit there on the desk, and he'd just pull out a deck of cards, which was a prop, because we were a sports betting tip line, was the premise of the movie. And so there's a deck of cards that he'd pick them up, and he would just do card trick after card trick after card trick for me while they were doing the setup.
You know what's funny is you said he did card tricks for me, and then Bean said, oh, that's cool. I don't think that happens if Al Pacino is not in that story.
Right.
If someone just has you in a corner and they're doing card tricks,
that's not good.
Get the F away from me.
Let's start doing whatever this is with the card tricks.
Right.
Now, did you have the nerve to pick his brain about some of the great films that he's been in? Did you ask him for, Godfather stories and stuff like that?
I did not.
Can you give us a minute-by-minute account of your time with Al Pacino?
My 2 weeks spent with Al? Sure. Okay. So, day one. No, I did not. I did not want to be that guy. Tell me for Brando. James Caan. I was not that guy, but he volunteered. He would volunteer.
That's awesome. Because
really?
You know he's got stories.
You know he's got stories, and he would volunteer. And he famously, the first time I heard the story was he told me, Because it was my first film, and we were talking about that, and he said, "No, I'm surprised because you're really doing a great job." Blah blah blah. And
Ralph just added that part, by the way.
No, he was very complimentary. I don't think he meant it, but he was making me feel comfortable by being nice to me. And he said, "You know, Godfather, when the studio saw the dailies, they wanted me fired. They said, 'What is that guy doing?'" And Francis had to fight and fight and fight to keep me in the picture.
Is that true?
Paramount did not want me in that role. You know, they wanted effing Robert Redford.
Is that true?
Yeah. And I was just sitting there with my eyes wide as saucers going, more.
That's a cool story.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It was insane, yeah. But he would volunteer stuff when appropriate. Like when it came up in conversation, he would say, "Oh," and then one time on Scarface, and he would just tell you, you know, some story that was related to. But he was never like a guy saying, he wasn't never holding court and like talking about his career. Right. You know?
So when are you going on Curb Stomp? When's that happening?
I'm going to set up my Curb Stomp account, and then I'm going to buy these tickets, and then I'm going to hang out with him. I'm going to say, "Remember me?" He's going, "No, I don't. And I wish you'd get off my plane." That's what he's going to say to me. But
and would you like to see a card trick?
But it was funny because we wrapped the film and then came back to Los Angeles and a couple months went by and we all have to go back to do what they call ADR, additional dialogue recording. Sometimes the sound messes up when you're recording a scene or they change a line. You need to dub a fresh line into your work. So they put you up on the screen and then they record a new soundtrack for that particular scene.
Yes.
So I was going in to do a couple lines. It may have even been for the... sometimes they'll do an alternate version for television or for planes or, you know, they'll soften
the
up
cleaner
the
version.
Yeah. So I was walking in. As I was walking in, he was walking out. And he had just finished his. And he went, "Ralph, good to see you." He remembered my name. And I said, "That was one of the great moments of my life."
Why am I the only one clapping? That's impressive.
It was very cool of him. That shows you the kind of guy he was. And he remembered this little BS guy who had this little bit part that he was... he was that magnanimous to remember my name. I was always impressed by
that. He probably tells a story about doing a bunch of bogus card tricks for this guy.
I did card tricks for the guy. Never got it right once. He never said anything.
I did it for a half hour.
He just said, "Oh, that's great." I was waiting for the guy to say, "That wasn't my card." What an asshole.
I am hearing that this Danny Collins movie that's out right now is the best thing he's done in years.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
looks
it.
Looks great.
Check it out. All right, I'm way behind. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ezra Canning, 31 years old today. Taylor Kitsch is 34. Katie Sackhoff, 35 years old today. Patricia Arquette is 47. Robin Wright is 49. Biz Markie is 51. Dean Norris is 52. And actor John Schneider celebrates his 55th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So Coachella is this weekend.
That's right.
That's good news. Mm-hmm. It's especially good news for Steve Mynn from Buena Park, who just won tickets, 3-day passes, and access to the K-Rock house. And he qualifies for the car that we're going to give away. How about that?
What's that car called, Kevin?
That is called the turbocharged Fiat Abarth.
Well done. That'll Thank be you. Friday morning. We'll be making that phone call to award somebody a brand new car. And by the way, if you go to KRock.com, you will see that the Coachella set times have been released, so you can plan out your weekend as well. And KRock is going to be broadcasting from the Coachella house all weekend long. So a lot of good stuff coming up the next 2 weekends, as we do each year about this time.
Really? We don't hang anymore? Is that what we've done now? Is that where we are? Is that what state we're in?
I don't think we ever, like, fully agreed on hay.
We always used to hay.
Well, I mean, we did
there
on and off.
There was always hay. There was hay.
We hayed on and off.
There will
I don't
be
blame
hay.
You, Ralph, for not wanting to be on a show where you can no longer hay. Come that on. Does kind of take the fun out of it, I think.
My Lord. I will drink your milkshake.
How about one more look at the showbiz beat now with Ralph Garman?
How about it? Hey, did you hear they're making more Arrested Development episodes?
Love it.
This is going to happen. Brian Grazer, executive producer, who's putting the show together for Netflix, told Variety, "I love Arrested Development, but it was never a huge thing, but people are loyal to it, so stay tuned." He sounds like he almost doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
All right.
We might not
see it. 17 more brand new episodes is apparently the deal, so that's good news for Arrested Development fans.
The other thing I'll say, Ralph, is one of the problems they had with Season 3 was... almost everybody on that show has gone on to great success and is very busy with very tough schedules. And it seemed like they had to shoot a lot of stuff like separate from one another and edit it together and shoot it out of order and everything. And it seemed like it was a rather disjointed experience to make Season 3. I can't imagine Season 4 is going to be any easier.
You may have a point. That question may be rhetorical.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I got nothing for you. I don't know what Jason Bateman's schedule is. Let me look it up here. I think I have it. Let me see what he's doing.
He's the president of show business. Yeah, so right. What are supposed to ask?
He's at lunch right now. Well, he's on his way to lunch. He's going to be at the Ivy. I'm going to go by and I'm going to see what he's up to and see whether he can shoot more cohesively in the same room together.
I withdraw the question.
No, it was a good one.
It was a good one. Stick by that.
So, good news. Arrested Development. Arrested Development stock up.
Yes.
Down, on the downside of the Showbiz stock report, Twin Peaks. Yeah, this kills me. Hurts me. Physically hurts me. David Lynch, who of course is the genius behind Twin Peaks, along with Mark Frost, his co-creator, has announced he has left the project of bringing Twin Peaks back to Showtime. The revival was supposed to bring the series back to Showtime. He has walked away from the project. However, he says the project may still be alive at Showtime, even though he will not be connected to it. And
possible?
You can't have Twin Peaks without David Lynch at the helm, right?
I mean, it certainly would be a different Twin Peaks. But to be the...
Maybe if Mark Frost still sticks around, you know, maybe.
He was
Lynch,
the other
Lynch
creator,
and Frost
right?
have already written all 9 episodes.
Oh.
Lynch was set to direct them all as well.
Oh, so they're all written by him?
Yeah.
Okay.
But can you do that without the creative stewardship of the man?
Yeah, because he is a master filmmaker. Let's
right.
face it.
I mean, so much of the feel and look of that program was his doing. He created the template.
Yeah.
He was going to direct all these.
Michael Bay is still available though, to make a show, right?
You don't even. That's not even funny. Here's what Lynch said in a series of tweets regarding the split between him and Showtime. Dear Twitter friends, Showtime did not pull the plug on Twin Peaks. After 1 year and 4 months of negotiations, I left because not enough money was offered to do the script the way I felt it needed to be done.
He's yelling man on Twitter?
Yeah, that's how he tweets.
This weekend, I started to call actors to let them know I would not be directing. Twin Peaks is still very much alive at Showtime. I love the world of Twin Peaks and wish things could have worked out differently.
He said. So it sounds like it was a money thing. Budgets. Man, that's why it's called show business, man. Not show, get together with your friends and have a good time.
It doesn't really rhyme, but all right.
No.
Okay. All right.
Why, do you know one that rhymes?
No, I don't.
Okay, then why you were going up the rhyming
thing? I don't know.
Thing?
I thought you were
why?
Going for that.
I'm just curious to know why you thought.
And then you said it's just a bunch of words.
Are you going to jump on with both feet? Gonna... That's all I want to know. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, wait a minute. Before I do that, I got this quick email.
Yeah. Oh, no, you don't.
For those of you folks who missed it earlier in the show, Kevin and Bean interviewed Ad Rock from
Beastie
Boys. Adam Horvitz.
You're going to be happy to know, and I'm going to tease tomorrow's show in a second, but we are going to go through that.
We're going to do a little postmortem, on the interview.
Tomorrow morning,
we're going to find out how the patient died.
We're going to open it up there on the slab and do a little autopsy.
Tomorrow early, we're going to talk about how that went.
Bring out the recorder and the latex gloves and get the scalpel out and the rib spreader and go in there and get a good look.
It was not smooth.
He did say, however, he wants to be on Walking Dead.
He did say that. He did say that, yeah.
He said he'd like to bring in bagels. He wanted to be the guy from New York who brings bagels.
Right.
And then dies and becomes a zombie.
We need that autopsy because I'm still not sure whether he killed us or we killed him.
Oh, he killed us.
Listener A. Matten writes in regarding the interview. Ralph, I worked with Gail Ann Hurd last year. Oh. So I emailed her about Adam Horvitz saying he wants to be on The Walking Dead. However, I may have messed it all up. As I said, I would like to see him as a zombie rather than as a live human. She just wrote back her email. She wrote back, and her email was short. We don't do celebrity zombie cameos, thank God. Shoot me immediately if we ever consider it. So, A. Matten says, looks like Ad Rock won't be a zombie. I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Looks like Ad Rock won't be a zombie. Looks like Ad Rock won't be a zombie. Looks like Ad Rock won't be a zombie.
People are like, what?
Well, thank A. Matten for that email. It's timely. It's fresh as today's headlines.
Ralph, seriously, you have like 2 people writing those for you?
No.
I mean, really?
No.
The good ones.
I have a stack. I have a stack.
The good ones.
All good, first of all. And secondly, a varied group of people from all walks of life are contributing to the magic that is Bugatti.
I feel like you have a Bugatti staff somewhere in another office.
I do not have a Bugatti staff.
All right. Okay.
I have a Bukkake staff.
That's very different.
That's a very different staff.
In a lot of ways.
You do not want to walk into that office without giving them some prior warning. You want to let them know you're coming.
So to speak. And by the way, Allie gets the last laugh by wearing a hat if she walks into that office.
See?
Right? Good protect.
That's why she's got the wide brim.
That's right.
Who wins?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ezra Koenig from Vampire Weekend celebrates his 31st birthday. Actor Taylor Kitsch. He's got to change his name. It's impossible to say that last name.
Yeah, it's tough.
34 years old. Katie Sackhoff, 35. By the way, I hear Longmire's going to Netflix. Then Longmire may come back.
Oh, fantastic.
You know how much I love Longmire.
You've talked about that for a long time.
Yeah.
If the show is only on in your mind, does it matter what network imaginarily owns it?
It was a show. It was real. You would like it if you ever watched it. Patricia Arquette's 47 years old today. Robin Wright is 49. Dean Morris is 52. John Schneider, you know him as Pa Kent from Smallville. And maybe even Bo Duke from the Dukes of Hazzard, 55 years old today. And rapper Biz Markie.
Oh, baby, you got what I need. When you say he's just a friend, when you say he's just a friend.
High-quality recording right there.
Yeah, it is just good stuff.
Sounds good.
51 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kick her off tomorrow morning, all-new Kevin and Bean show. We will go through the Ad Rock interview and see what went wrong.
Interview in quotes, by the way. Josh, disaster is the word you're looking for.
How dare you.
Josh Gad will be on the program talking about comedians.
Have you seen it yet?
I have not, no.
I love this show.
Really?
I really do.
This is he and Billy Crystal,
him and Billy Crystal. It is along the lines of sort of a Curb Your Enthusiasm where they both play themselves, basically, and they're forced to team up and do a sketch comedy show together, and they do not like each other, and it's very funny.
I love it. Jim Rome on Thursdays. We talk sports. Dr. Drew on Thursdays. We have a brand new internet roundup, and we have Avengers Age of Ultron tickets as well tomorrow morning.